This is ROE 33, Piecing the Puzzle Together, and I'm your host, Lori Loving. Whether you're an educator, a student, or simply curious about the ever-evolving landscape of education, this podcast is your go-to place for insightful conversations, innovative strategies, and the stories that piece the Regional Office of Education number 33 together. Today, we will be speaking with Mr. Joe McQueen, principal of RAISE, which is our Regional Alternative Education Services. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to do this interview.
Wonderful. Could you give us a background on your career and how it has led you to this position now?
Sure. I'll keep it kind of brief. I've been in education for about 25 years. I think I'm coming up on the 26th. I started off as a special education teacher. I've been a special education coordinator for a day school. Spent most of my career working with what they would categorize as at-risk youth in detention centers and residential treatment, and was looking to return to Illinois because I just like the Midwest, and applied for the Regional Office of Education. And I think that they maybe were desperate, and they gave me a chance, and now here I am. I've been here for about 5 years. It's been an amazing experience.
Yeah, well, I do remember your interview in that day very well, and you were a perfect fit for our program. So I do believe that your background in special education and with the juvenile justice system really did bring you to us with a lot of background that helps our program. So I do remember that, and we were not desperate. You were a great choice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
What are some misconceptions that come along with running an alternative school, and how do you work to dispel those misconceptions?
I think a lot of times people think of the alternative school as where all the bad kids go, and I think that rubs me the wrong way every time, because all of our kids are unique, and they're here for different reasons. Some of them are, you know, some behavioral issues, but a lot of them, that's not the issue. And once we get them in and we start developing relationships and working with these kids, none of our kids are bad kids. They're just kids that have a lot of trauma, kids that have a lot of neurodivergent issues. And once they start feeling welcome and safe and they feel at home, they're really just great kids and they flourish here. And so the biggest thing we do to kind of dispel that is when we communicate with people in the community and we work with other schools, we really try to explain, look, our kids aren't bad kids. They're amazing kids that just need a different setting. That's why we're an alternative school. We're not a naughty school. We're an alternative school. So if our kids were successful in regular school, they would have stayed there. But they struggled, so they have an alternative setting. But we do things very similar to a lot of schools. And we take our kids on outings on occasion. And I think it's always wonderful for people to say, oh my gosh, those kids were so well behaved. I'm like, well, yeah, we're from the alternative school. And they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, I mean, that misconception needs to be squashed because all of our kids are really good kids that just needed a different opportunity, an alternative opportunity to be successful.
Well said. The Regional Office of Education recently moved to a new location, bringing students from the RAISE East and the RAISE West campuses together. How has that positively impacted your team and your students?
I think for the team, all of us being in one place is, God, that's a huge difference. Being on two different campuses and trying to run two campuses exactly the same way is really complex because you've got two different cultures. But when we brought all that together and combined a lot of the ideas and the concepts and put them all in one culture all together, I think our staff thrived. I think our students, for them, it was a culture change because we have some kids that are much more rural who haven't been around maybe more kind of, if you want to call Galesburg urban, a setting like that. And so I think it diversified our population and gave our kids exposure to different views, and they really adapted well and have kind of meshed incredibly well. It's great to see all the kids kind of doing things together. It took a minute. You know, there were some bumps in the road, but I think having everybody all together on one campus really allows us to thrive at a higher level, and we've made some huge changes because we're all together that I think have increased a lot of our academic success as well as our student social-emotional success as well.
The mascot for RAISE is a rhino. Could you tell us about the purpose behind that and what it means to you?
Well, our kids picked it. It was probably, gosh, 3-4 years ago now. I can't remember exactly. But one of the reasons that they wanted the rhino is because the rhino is sort of a misconceived creature. People think that it's mean, and they think that it's, you know, because it's got those big horns, it's scary. But really, a rhino is a very passive animal. It doesn't kill other animals. It eats mostly vegetables. And so it's a nice little reminder that just because something looks, you know, scary or something looks different or intimidating, that it's not. It can be very kind and gentle and very protective of the people around it. And that encompasses what a rhino is. And that, I think, encompasses what Raze is as well. It goes with that misconception we talked about earlier that, you know, just because something looks a certain way, it doesn't mean it is.
Could you share a story with us about a recent success your program has had with a student?
Oh, I can. This is a good time to ask this because we just had a huge success with a young man. He's going to be nominated for ICERI, which is a conference we do for alternative ed, as a student, one of our students of the year. So he came to us homeless and, you know, said, look, I want to get a GED. And so we looked at his high school credits. We reached out to some of the schools he'd been at. He'd been sent to like a work camp, like a military style work camp, and was there for like a year and a half and came back and was 18 and didn't know he could go back to school. It was just really a confused young kid who wanted to get his education. And so when we looked at his credits, we were like, dude, you're only like 3 credits away from graduating. We're not going to put you in our GED program. We're going to put you in our high school track program. And so we put him in some credit recovery, worked with his homeschool, got him switched over here, and he graduated. And he wrote an amazing essay for the ICERI board to be one of their picks for student of the year. And it really just was all about him showing up and how he had to do the work. And he really, what I like is he took ownership for all the things that he succeeded in. He thanked us for helping him, but he acknowledged that, you know, even with all that help, he had to show up and do his part. And I think that level of maturity for a young man who was homeless and kind of wondering what he was going to do and didn't have a lot of stuff, that's a huge success. And he's not homeless anymore, by the way. We've got him, you know, found him somewhere to live, and he's got people around him that care for him. And we're also talking about he wants to work as an educator. So we're talking about taking that parapro path and even maybe going to school to be an educator. And I think it's just amazing that he's such a good kid. And I hate to think what would have happened if he wouldn't have kind of stumbled through our doors.
That's an amazing story. I love to hear the success stories and, you know, what the students overcome. And that's exciting to hear that he might be interested in education, because we certainly need people that are driven and have compassion like that in our education programs. We also, one of the most touching days of the year for me is when we do graduation at the end of the year. So we do have students that graduate throughout the school year, as well as a ceremony at the end of the year. Approximately how many students would you say we have graduate each year?
Oh, I think when I first got here, it was around 20. Now it's up in the upper 30s. I think we did 37 last year, and we're already on pace to beat that by quite a bit. So I would think this year we're probably going to have maybe 45 to 50 kids with HSE and also high school diplomas. And I always remind our kids, we are a fully accredited high school. We are a nationally accredited school. So our diploma means the same thing as all the other diplomas. I think that's always a concern. And I think it's a misconception of the public. Like, well, can they go to college with the Raze diploma? Well, they surely can. They can do anything that they could with the regular diploma. So yeah, those numbers are looking really good. And I think part of that is that combining the campuses and us being able to switch up the way we do things and get better data as we're all together.
Yeah, it is always such a great celebration. And I can't help as a parent but look out, you know, in the audience and see the faces on, you know, of the families and of the students. And I just know all the struggles and the doubts that they may have had that they'd ever get to that point. So it's truly a celebration, and it makes me very proud of our staff and the program that you've built as well. I have one last question, Joe. It would be remiss if I didn't ask you about, you have other endeavors that you have dived pretty deeply in, that you have shared some knowledge and wisdom with, not just our program, but across the state and nationwide. So can you talk a little bit about the work that you do with professional learning and writing and some of the things you do in that area?
Sure. So I did write a book. It's Calling Young Minds. It's available on Amazon. And through that book, I've done a lot of different public speaking. I work for the regional office as a consultant. So I do work with some of our local districts. I've done some keynote speaking. Just last night, I did a podcast with a bunch of schools from New Zealand. And I think we're going to work on doing some webinars with them. A lot of conference speaking and things like that. I think that's one of my side passions, is definitely speaking with people and training and teaching people to see things through a different lens, to work with kids in a different way that's definitely more therapeutic. And with a trauma understanding. And I'm in love with restorative practices. I have been for a long time. So I love that that's kind of a new buzzword. I found out that's a buzzword in New Zealand as well. So I think I'm bought into that whole idea of restorative practices. And I think being able to teach people that and then de-escalation, understanding trauma, and just understanding mental health has been a huge passion of mine for a long time. And I think with all the years of experience that I've done sort of in the trenches, it's fun to share some of that.
Yeah, and we are very fortunate to have you in our program and implementing some of those skills, and as well as very proud of the work that you're doing to help others. So we appreciate you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was great to hear your perspective on the ROE and give others an understanding of what we do here. Thank you all for listening. We truly appreciate the opportunity to serve our schools and communities by providing educational resources, partnerships, and opportunities. Please take a moment to find us on social media and subscribe to our newsletter, where you can find all the information on everything ROE 33.